done this since I've come here, but every once in a while the Lord gives me a word for a particular individual. And where's Jeff? Jeff, brother, as we were praying this just a few moments ago, and I felt one, I thought I was just going to share that with you privately, but I feel like God wants me to say this to you in front of the whole church. You know, sometimes we go through difficult moments like Jeff did. None of us wants to sign up for that thing. But my brother, I believe that what you went through this past week or so was like the cracking of a shell. That while it was a time of crushing, that it was of God. That the things he's going to bring out from you are not death, but life. That the days that you're about to walk into from this point forward, this will be a defining moment for you. And that the days that you're going to walk into from this point forward will really be time of fruitfulness that you may not have even known was possible. And I think that even the prayer opportunities that God gave you in that setting was just the foretaste of what God's going to do in you and through you in the days coming. So rejoice, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So this particular shirt that I'm wearing happens to be one of the gifts that was given to me on a trip to Liberia, not this one I was just on, the one prior. It was given to me specifically. It was supposed to be a pastor's shirt. Now, with the help of Steve, I just figured out why that's the case. I never know quite what to do with this thing, but there happens to be this nice little pocket right here. And it just kind of fits into it very nicely. So now I know why it's the pastor's shirt. Hallelujah. So what I'm about to share with you is something of an overview of the trip that I went on in Liberia. And the reason that I chose Psalm 96 this morning was not that I was going to preach on it, other than what I'm about to walk you through is part of our participation as a church, as a local church with a global reach in the work of Jesus Christ to really bring that honor and glory to his name throughout the worlds. So Psalm 96, verse 3 says, to declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous work among all the peoples. And that's what we're trying to do as a church. So the overview, this trip report, whatever you want to call it, that I'm about to walk you through is part of us doing that. So I have a bunch of slides. I have about 1,200 pictures that I took. I'm not going to cover 1,200 pictures here. I have lots of pictures that I'm going to show you, but many more that I am not going to show you. So what I'm about to do is give you a bit of an overview for what has just happened. Now, to remind you about Liberia, lots of people get Liberia and other places in the world mixed up. This specifically, Liberia is the part of Africa that if you were to take Africa, now Africa is a continent. It's not the United States. It's not made up of a whole bunch of states like the U.S. It is a continent made up of countries. Liberia happens to be one of those countries on Western Liberia. And while I was there this particular trip, they actually took us to the church, the place where the Declaration of Independence for Liberia was actually signed. That was kind of a neat thing. And this particular church called Providence Baptist Church is the place where way back in, I forget what it was, 1847, they actually signed their Declaration of Independence in a church. One of the first Christian churches in that part of Africa. And one of the things that was neat inside this church, this is the church building that they signed their declaration. On the wall is this document that just recalls the signers of the declaration of their Declaration of Independence. One of the things that was kind of neat, which I had not known prior to this, was there happened to be 11 signers of their Declaration of Independence. Now, by coincidence, not, their flag has 11 stripes. And those 11 stripes are just celebrating the 11 signers of their Declaration of Independence. So now you know another piece of trivia about Liberia that you probably never knew before. Now, this is a whole bunch of neat points that I'm not going to go into all there. I've actually covered this previously. Just pointing out a couple things on the next few slides. Liberia has a lot of people in it. Although, while Liberia, the capital of Liberia happens to be Monrovia, where about 25% of their people live, the rest of them are spread out throughout the country in places that are somewhat hard to reach. It's one of the poorest countries in the world. They claim an unemployment rate of somewhere around the 85% mark, although it's a little hard to tell. And unemployment is kind of, people, what's employment in Liberia? When you can pick up a hammer and break big rocks into small rocks and sell gravel, is that called employment? I'm not quite sure what it means, but it is an extremely difficult place to live. How, just to point out one piece of trivia, inflation there was over 30% this past year. They're up to the place where a gallon of gasoline is over $6 now. Now imagine you have nothing. And you, for someone, you happen to have a generator even, maybe living in a mud hut, and you need to get a gallon of gas, and you're breaking big rocks into little rocks to sell them, to sell gravel, and you need to get a gallon of gasoline to run a generator. It's just a strange environment to live in. But a couple more pieces of trivia. Liberia is divided into counties, which in the way that it's structured, it's something between a state in the United States and a county in the way that they structure it as far as how their government works. But it's 15 counties, and one of the things that's interesting, each county has its own flag, and in the flag, in each county flag, they also have the little Liberian flag. I never knew that before either. That just kind of was one of those pieces of trivia. This is just trivia, just background information. So now I'm going to get into the trip itself. When I first got there, me and Ted Ratham is the new Global Ministries Director in the EC Church. This is Ted Ratham here, the guy that I traveled with. This is Abraham Powell, my good friend, Reverend Powell. This is his wife, Olive. We got there late, and this was the meal that they set for us at I don't even remember what time it was, about, midnight or something. It was, but it takes about something around 24 to 27 hours from the time you step on the airplane here in Newark to actually get to where you're going in Liberia. It's a long trip. This happens to be the place, the hotel that we stayed at. This is the grounds of the hotel. It happens to be called the Crown Hotel. This is a Western-style hotel, one step down from a resort in Liberia. One of the things that was kind of neat is on the grounds was this thing that they actually sell ice cream. People actually come, they'll come onto the grounds to buy ice cream, and I just had to laugh because on this thing, you may not be able to see it, but I don't know, for whatever reason, I thought of you, Matt, when I read this thing. I just cracked up. I thought, Matt would love that. It happens to say, a quality worth licking. I have no idea why you came to mind, Matt, but I just thought that just seems like one of those pieces of trivia that Matt would probably like. But a quality worth licking. Okay. So this was my shower. You can't, down here on the floor running next to it happens to be the plastic pipes that were trying to run over there and supply no water. It didn't work. So they knew that because when I went in there, they had a bucket with a little pot in it. And I would go over to the sink and where they had cold water, not hot water, cold water, fill up my little bucket, fill up the big bucket, and kneel down in that bathtub and take a bath. That was actually better than, I actually thought I was practicing to go, we were supposed to go out to a village and spend the night at one of the villages in Liberia. And I actually thought, hey, great, I'm practicing. I was all getting all ready to go. But it turned out we didn't actually make that trip, and I'll explain why in a moment. This is one, so in Liberia, I'll show you in just a moment, Liberia happens to border the Atlantic Ocean. There is a highway that runs along the highway. It's a, I guess it would be the equivalent of like a two-lane highway here, not four, two lanes, that runs along the whole coast. And along that highway are towns, communities, and this happens to be the town of Buchanan. And here was what would be the equivalent of a good gas station. However, they, as they are frequently going through, they were having a gas shortage while we were there. And many of the gas stations had no gas whatsoever. And the ones that did on occasion had very, very, very long lines. This happens to be one of the gas stations that had gas. And there was a very long line there. Just to point out for you that gas was $6.35. U.S. dollars. Now, remember, this is not the United States. Like, if you and I had to pay $6.35, we would scream and holler, but we would pay it. Imagine the people that have, nothing paying $6.35. Just a point of info for you. I went there with Ted in the past, I've gone there to support them in their national conference. This time, we skewed our arrival time so that we were actually arriving halfway through the conference. And then we stayed there for the rest of their conference with them, and then continued into the following week, where we'd had some opportunity to meet with the school people there, to meet with their leaders, and to do some things. But this was their 51st annual conference. That means that the EC Church of Liberia has been around for 51-plus years. That's pretty kind of neat in Africa. And it actually, this particular church, Emmanuel EC Church, was actually connected with them early in their history. One of the women that was instrumental in bringing the EC Church over to Liberia, when she came to the United States looking for a church denomination to partner with, one of the places she visited was here. So in each year that they have a conference, they have a theme for their conference, and their theme for this year's conference came out of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 54, verse 17, that says, "No weapon formed against you, Jeff, brothers and sisters, no weapon formed against you will prosper." And so they use that as kind of their catchphrase, "no weapon," to kind of as their rallying point for the conference. Now, the conference, as I pointed out, here's the edge of Liberia, and along the edge here, kind of hard to see, is their highway. This happens to be Buchanan, which is the city or the town I just showed you. Now, when we were there, we stayed in Buchanan, and then we had to travel out. Wasn't that cute? You know, so 31 years as an engineer taught me one or two things about how to use PowerPoint. But I'll tell you what. Getting from Buchanan out to this place that was called Saturday Town, it was horrendous. I do not like to ride on roller coasters and that kind of stuff. The older I got, the more I would get sick of that stuff. If we go ever take the kids to a park, go ahead, I'll watch you, and I'll stay on the ground. However, this was a challenging trip for me. This is just to remind you, this is the actual road that we drove on. It was only about a 10-mile trip, but it took us an hour and a half-ish to get from where we were at to where we were going because of the roads. This is the road that we had to travel on. That's actually the car that we drove on. And this is the good part. This is the good part. I'm being serious. This is the good part of the road that we had to travel on. And it was a main road. We saw huge trucks like this one going up and down this road because it goes into the interior. It's just, it makes your brain go tilt. We saw one day that we were leaving the conference, there was a truck laying on its side. Now, it was a little too dark. I tried to take a picture as we came up and over the hill and saw it. But first of all, we were moving. Secondly, it was dark. And thirdly, the vehicle that we were in had heavily tinted windows. So all I got was a blur. But the next day, there was another truck. The axle broke. And this is what happened. This is what happens all the time in Liberia. Their phrase is, "This too is Liberia. We suffer." And so this is what happens on the roads. And this is a video. I'm sitting in the back seat. This is our trip.
Yes, Africa, America.
Now, I show you that to explain why we actually ended up trimming our trip short by a few days. One of the things that we were supposed to do was actually visit a remote village. Now, when I say that, believe it or not, I was looking forward to this until the first few days I was there, I just got sick. And I think it was mostly motion sickness, but it could have been something to do with malaria medication, being in 120-degree temperatures. It could have had something to do with Liberian food, something along there. Maybe not feel too well. So when we looked at our itinerary and we talked about taking a 6, air quote, hour trip on roads that were worse than this. Now, when I say 6 hours, that's 6 hours Liberian time. That's something like the equivalent of football minutes. Because he told us it would take us about 15, 20 minutes or so to get from our hotel out to the village. Well, that turned into an hour and a half. So when he told us that it was going to take us around 6 hours to get to the village he wanted to take us to, 6 hours plus, that was just to get to the river, and then you're supposed to get in a boat to cross the river and then hop on motorcycles to go from there to the village, in which when you got there, we were going to sleep in a mud hut overnight. and spend the day or so with the people, and then do it again on the way back. We opted to say, you know what, let's take that part out of the itinerary. Because we kind of get the idea, it's tough out there, and we'll just take your word for it, it's a really far away. So we just took that out of the itinerary, which in all honesty did disappoint me. I was looking forward to that, but it really made sense for us to drop it off. And because we changed our itinerary, God gave us the opportunity to have a conversation, which I'm going to lead you into as we go on. So this is, we've now gotten all the way down the road, and we've showed up at the village that we were going to have the conference at. Each time they have their conference, they vary which village gets to host. When they go into the village, they go and they talk to all the people that live there in the village. Not all the people that live in these villages are members of our church. However, this is a hugely community place. When I was visiting with them and we're driving down the road, I asked Reverend Powell's wife, Olive, I said, so just tell me one thing you like about that you love about your country. She thought for a moment. The first thing she says, we're free to worship God. Now, that's saying a lot. In places around the world, and she knows it, even neighboring countries, they put their lives at risk to worship God. So she does not take that for granted. Then right on the heels of that, she goes, and we're nice to each other. She said, now, wait a minute. And she said, well, maybe there's like 10 or 12 people in the country that aren't nice to each other. But she said, but we're nice to each other. And that's true. When they take their conference on the road and they go to a village, those villagers invite them in to stay in their house. They share their food with them. Sometimes they'll actually go to a neighboring village and spend time so that the people in the EC church can use their houses. That's Liberia. There is a love of community there that we don't fully understand. So here we are out in the mill, having driven down that road an hour and a half-ish. We've shown up at the village, and I'm not going to show you all the pictures of the village, but this is some of the things that you'll see. Mud huts and thatched roof houses. Here's the thing. Check this out. It might be a little hard to see, but that right there, that square thing, any idea what that is? A solar panel. Mud hut, thatched roof house, and a solar panel. It is random, but here, this is even more random. They typically do that so they can recharge their cell phones. Believe it or not. And he said sometimes they'll do it so they can have a light on at night, but it's just like, yeah, out there, they sometimes have cell phones. So here we are in the village, just some snapshots looking around the village. One of the things that was kind of neat right here in the front, they actually had, here and there, they had pineapples grown. And they actually cut off some of these pineapples, and we ate those pineapples through the week. It was kind of neat. This is walking up the village. This happens to be a bunch of the leftover mud bricks that they had made, that they had used to make the church I'm about to show you. Now, their phrase, no weapon, they took this very seriously. And the day that we showed up, they did an actual parade. And they're all wearing like camouflage and military uniforms. They had told me ahead of time that this was the theme. And they said, hey, if you have a uniform or something from the military, bring it. So I found my old 15 and a half size shirt, which I borrowed from a younger, thinner man, mine. And I thought, okay, I'll carry it. I'll bring it with me just so I can hang it there. Oh, no. You don't just hang it. You're going to wear it. So, Ma, my name is Mla. That's my African name. It means blessing. So, Mla, you've got to wear it. I'm like, no, I'll just carry it. No. They made me put on that shirt. I squeezed in. And here they are lining up to do an opening parade for us. And there I am, squeezed into my shirt. Ugh. The things you do for love. This is Reverend Powell. This is Ted Ratham. And the whole congregation is about to do a parade. For those in the military, they're going to parade past us. And these guys are doing their salute. And I'm just like, trying to catch my breath in my too tight shirt. But here they are. They're parading. Thank you. gun, no weapon. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to start doing that in our service. No. This is the church building in which we met. They just completed this building the week before we got there. This building, believe it or not, is made of mud bricks like you just saw. They built those bricks. They take mud. They mix mud in with some mortar mix to kind of help strengthen it. They shovel, mix it all around, throw it into wooden frames, and then put those mud blocks in the sun to dry, stack them all up, and make a building. And then they coat it with it's like what we might do, like when we do, what's it called? Stucco, like a stucco. That's what they do, and it's just, and then they paint it. And they had just gotten done finishing this, and this is typical of them. When each time that we've gone, they had just completed a church. And that's one of the blessings of why they do it. They're going to these communities, and they're helping refresh their churches and celebrating it. And when we got there to this place, we had the privilege of dedicating the new church for the glory of God. And so there we are dedicating. This year, they actually, it's kind of funny, because they just kind of take this and they make this stuff. Last time that we went, they had a strip of toilet paper across the door, and we just ripped it. We had lots of practice with that. So there we had got to dedicate. This is the inside of the church building where we had conference each time. There's Reverend Powell greeting us. There's me in my too tight shirt, and Ted Ratham there just being greeted. Now, remember when you sent me with the blessings to them? Our church, over the weeks leading up to this, we had collected together between people what was given here to the by the church and some money that came in through the school. We had collected close to $2,300. That was used for the ministry, for the library ministry. Some of that the Sunday before I left, we had brought up the things. We had gotten them a projector. We got them a new tablet, all these little flashlights and things. And we prayed over that, and that I took with me to them. You guys paid what wasn't covered for my trip by Global Ministries, the church, you guys paid. And so I literally felt like you were sending me as your representative there. And when I got there, I mean, remember, the Sunday before I left, we prayed over those things. And the first day that we were there, the first thing that I got to do was to present to the EC Church of Liberia the gifts that you sent. And here's me with Reverend Powell presenting some of the gifts that you guys sent to him. Recognize that hat? EC, Emmanuel EC Church. And we presented the projector that we got for him. We presented the tablet that we got for him. It was a tremendous blessing. And here, while I presented to Reverend Powell, who was the head of the EC Church of Liberia, the first thing he did was call up his leaders. And this is a subset of his leaders. And he, in turn, presented those things to them, recognizing that this was not for him personally, but that this was for, from our church to the EC Church of Liberia. As part of that, recognizing that, Reverend Powell sent back to you a letter. Here's the letter. To the Emmanuel EC Church USA, from Reverend Abraham Powell, mother, they call the wife, first lady, his mother. Mother Olive Powell, and Joan happens to be she's your mother. Just so you know, Mother Joan. From Reverend Powell and Mother Powell, EC Church of Liberia. Subject, letter of thanks and appreciation, dated February 5th, to you guys. Dear Christian brothers and sisters, we are overwhelmed, and he wept when I presented this to him, and he made the comment. He said, this has never happened for them to have been on the receiving end of such love. He wept. He said, this has never happened in the history of the EC Church of Liberia. And he said, and now it's written into our history, and it will always be part of us. We are overwhelmed and so grateful to God from the core of our hearts for all of you who have proven your love and concern for us. We'd like to thank you for the outstanding contribution to our life and to the EC Church of Liberia. It is rare to find this kind of contribution these days, and it's the first time for such to happen in our lives. Each of you is a valuable asset to our lives and the ministry of EC Church of Liberia. Your gifts have brought a great enthusiasm, he says great enthusiastic, to our ministry work. It is an honor to have such amazing brothers and sisters like you. You are a source of inspiration. Reverend Sergi, our own law, your hard work and dedication to our work has brought and will continue to bring positive changes in our activities in the Lord's vineyard. We would like to thank you so very much for all the creative thinking and encouraging words towards our work. Without your creative mind, it would have been difficult to achieve what we have achieved. We do not have anything to pay you for this, but we'll continue to keep you in our prayers for God to keep you strong and to bless you in all your endeavors. Once again, thank you all so very, very much. Love from Abraham and Olive, EC Church of Liberia. That is his gift to you. He also sent this that they made that night for us. Says at the top, from Abraham and Olive, EC Church of Liberia, to Emmanuel, EC Church, USA. Good people are remembered as a blessing, especially people like you. Thanks a lot. So that's their gift to you. So we're there at the conference, and I'm just going to share with you some snapshots of things just taken from here and there. Here's Ted Ratham speaking at the conference. Us having our lunch together, our first lunch, me still in my Air Force shirt that's too small. Every single day of the conference, they had a theme, and typically their themes carry with them a color code, a color combination. This happens to be, thank you, Jesus, because I had a pink shirt with me, I did not have to wear the shirt they had given me the previous year, which was my, I call it the foo-foo shirt. Ted had the blessing of being able to wear his shirt. Now, this is a blessing to receive. These are gifts of love. And if it fit me better, I would have worn it. It is just, while it looks very large, it is not. And when you put this stuff on, it is hot, it's tight, and it's hard to get off. But anticipating such things, I was planned, I was prepared, and I brought my own pink shirt, so I and navy blue pants, so I did not have to wear my foo-foo shirt. But it's a blessing. And here they are, the United Church Choir. Now, one comment about them is, so all these different churches have their own little choirs, you know, 2 or 3 or 5, 10 people. And what they try to do is anyone that can get to conference from all those different villages, they make up one big choir, and this happens to be the EC Church, the United Church Choir, into which we were inducted. That's why we got those nice blue shirts. I have a banner downstairs that I forgot to bring up that says United Church Choir, and here they are. This happened all the time. I mean, I could have shown you hundreds of videos of them doing this. So anyway, they do that, and we would be preaching, and all of a sudden they just start doing it, and okay. I think that when I would go there, I think they enjoyed the entertainment that came from Pastor Rick trying to, So now I know where my daughter Laura gets her seizure condition from, because I think I had it when I was there in Liberia. Just a little bit more than that church choir. This one right here. Yes, it's nice to see. It's nice to see that they sweat too. And even though they're full of energy and activity, they sweat too. Now this is them. On that same day, given their offering, take note. Hello. Are we stuck? All their offerings were done this way. Every offering they gave, they danced up to give their offering. God, optimistic because their offering bucket was really big. They never quite filled them up, but I guess it's a statement of faith. So here I happen to have the opportunity to pray at that particular service and then to preach at that service. After I had gotten done preaching, now Abraham Powell was giving what we call, they don't call it, but we call it the State of the EC Church of Liberia, and Ted and I just then joined the congregation and just to hear his presentation of where they're at, what's going on in the EC Church of Liberia, and that's him doing it. This is the next day. The Missionary Society is kind of a misnomer in the way that we would use that term. The Missionary Society is in their denomination. It's the women, the praying women of their church, of their churches. They look at them as the backbone of the mission of the EC Church of Liberia. So for them, they look to these women and they honor these women because they believe that these women are the ones that help make stuff happen. As evidence of that, in the day that the Missionary Society had their emphasis, they retold a story for us, but it wasn't just a story, it was a skit in which they told us the story of a woman from one of the villages that had wanted for a long time to have a child and was not able to. And so she had actually started visiting doctors. The doctors couldn't help her. She went to a witch doctor who was unable to help her, and then someone brought her to the women, the missionary women of the EC Church of Liberia. And when she came to them, those ladies prayed over her, and she conceived. And they reenacted for us. It was hilarious. And they were enjoying it as much as we were enjoying it, telling the story of this. And this woman, the woman's coming in, they're putting on this skit, and they had a huddle of the ladies in the front where she came over, and they brought her in, and they're kind of like gathering around her and praying over her. But what was really going on inside was they were getting her all ready. So when she turned around, she is now pregnant. These are our brothers and sisters. They have humor just like you and I have humor. It was neat to see it. And this is us on the missionary day. They tend to give us lots of things, and they happen to give us on that day, they gave us a missionary shirt that made us, and they actually inducted us into their missionary society. So that's the day that we got our missionary shirt. And these are some of the women, and it's funny, they sit there so stern. And you talk to them, they're all animated, and they're laughing and stuff, and then you go to take their picture, and they're all stern. So here they are telling the story. Here they are, they brought her up, and they're praying to her, and then she turned around, and I wish I could have had a video of it, but I didn't. It was just fun. And then I happened to be speaking that day, and someone took pictures for me. Duh. Remember when I said that the Lord bends down to listen? There's me telling them the same thing, because I thought it was appropriate to speak that way to them about prayer. And then just another picture of the conference. This happens to be a different day. There's Ted Ratham up there speaking. A view of us from the front looking back into the conference. And this happened to be the day that we were doing a wedding. Here we are. I always think it's funny. The past few times we went there, they happen to have a banner with our picture on. You're driving down this village road. Ah, you're feeling sick and green. Oh, look at that. Your picture in the middle of Africa. And no weapon was the thing. And there's Ted Ratham and I standing beside the only billboard that I'll ever have my picture on. Now, we happen to have the privilege of officiating at two Christian marriages that were done simultaneously here. Now, in Liberia, they have traditional marriages. And in fact, in the traditional setting, men can marry multiple women. However, in the EC Church of Liberia, not the case. And what Pastor or Reverend Powell has been trying to do is teach them about what a Christian marriage looks like. So when we read the scriptures and it says an elder in the church would be the husband of one wife, they take that literally and say, you're not going to be an elder unless you're the husband of a wife. You will get married if you're going to be a pastor in their church, and it will be one woman, and it will be done God's way. And so when they're training men to be pastors in their church, even if they've been married in a traditional way, they're now requiring them to get remarried as husband and wife in the Christian way, and they with a ring, which is not usual for them to get a ring, and that because it's like, how do they teach their people in these villages what a Christian marriage is supposed to be like, how a husband's supposed to lay down his life for the woman if they're not living it out? So there, Reverend Powell has been pushing this, and we've had the privilege both this time and the previous time as there to actually do marriages for these pastors. Now, it's kind of funny when you do it because we're not quite sure that they fully understand it because Pastor Reverend Powell is still trying to help teach them what this is about. So sometimes, like he says, okay, we want you to do two weddings. They don't know. We're as much in the loss as they are. And so we're up there, and he hands us the order of services from the EC Church of the U.S., which has all these big, monstrous, challenging words in it that you're supposed to read through. And he wants us to do this ceremony with these people that can't even speak English. So it's kind of a funny thing because they're coming in and they're not quite sure, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? There's no practice ahead of time. You just are, you're winging it. And me and Ted are like, what do we do next? Well, you read this and I'll read this. It's like we're figuring this out as we go. And it's like the husband and wife, they're coming in and they're kind of dancing in, but you can see the stress on their faces until it's all done. And they're like, oh, good. And then there's like they're singing and dancing and stuff. But it was Reverend Powell is teaching them on both sides of this. And so they have some idea, but the whole thing is a learning process. And this happens to be one of the weddings that we happen to do. They're dancing in. They're throwing rice. And here's me and Ted like, what do we do? Someone just happened to catch the picture. We're all like trying to figure this out, but it was, we did. And Reverend Powell did a really neat thing, which I enjoyed. He took this husband and wife, the two couples are here, and they had decorated the chairs with some really neat little scarves and things. What he had them do is he actually had the husband and wife tied together with those scarves. And it was kind of funny. And he tied them together, and then he called, he stood over here and said, okay, Rebecca, come here, but you stay there. He told the husband to stay where he was, and he called the wife. And they're like trying to figure out, well, how do we do this? Point exactly. You are now unified. You are now one. You don't no longer live life separately. You live life together. And it was a tremendous teaching lesson. I said, you know what? I'm going to steal that. Next time I have a wedding, I'm going to steal that one. I liked that. And here they are. We're going through it, and there's like stress on their faces, and then they're all happy. Later in the week, we had the privilege once again of baptizing new believers. For them to be able to go to conference and be baptized is a tremendous thing. This was the morning that we had the privilege of going and down to the creek to baptize some new believers. It was just, this is early morning, like 7 o'clock in Africa. That is haze. It's hot and humid in Africa. But these people are lining up, getting ready to walk down there, just kind of peeking through the haze right there is the sun. It was a beautiful morning. It was a tremendous blessing to be able to do this. So we're going down, and here's everyone walking down to the creek. We get down there.
Forget me, Jesus.
You recognize this song?
Forget me, Jesus. Forget me, Jesus.
So that's your brothers and sisters rejoicing in God as they're about to be baptized. And so here we are. We're getting ready to pray. This is the water that we baptized them in. And then we had the privilege of baptizing 33 people. Now here's the fun little piece of trivia question. We had 33 people, but we did 34 baptisms, and no one was pregnant. Why? I'll give you the answer. One of the young women that came, a teenage girl, she was a little like uncertain about this go down into the water thing. So when we laid her down, she didn't actually go all the way under. So Reverend Powell's like, nah, that's not good enough. Do it again. So we had to make sure, and this time she went all the way under. So we did 33 people with 34 baptisms, and it was just a tremendous blessing. Now, one of the things that was tremendous is, I mean, this is not clear water. You know, they go down here. And one of the things that was at the end, we had the chance to just pray over everything. When we got out of the water and we got back to the village, we're changing and we're actually putting on suits. We took off these clothes. We put on suits, ties, the whole bit, because this was the day we were going to have communion. And as we got back and we're changing, Reverend Powell, I mean, we're muddy, you know, because we're down by the creek, and then we had to walk from the creek back up those muddy roads, probably about a quarter mile, half mile or so, back to the village, and we get there, and we're like Jesus, muddy, dirty, like in Jesus' day, when they would have walked on the streets of Galilee and stuff. We're muddy. And when we were getting changed, Reverend Powell washed our feet, not ceremonially. He washed them because they needed to be washed. And it's me, Ted, and Reverend Powell in a mud hut. And he had to sit down. They brought in water, and he washed off what we were not able to clean off by splashing them. And not only that, once he had washed them all off, he then took oil, and he rubbed down our legs and anointed them with oil because we needed it. He said, well, I also don't want any leeches or bugs to get on you, but... But it was, I mean, we lived the context of what Jesus lived. It wasn't like our foot washing here where it's ceremonious. He did it because it needed. It's just like, it's a tremendous way to live these truths of things that are in the scriptures. Just scenes around the village. This happened to be what they call their kitchen. So a community kitchen where they would do cooking. This over here is, they're actually cooking some meals for us and over charcoal or fires. That's how they cook. They don't have gas stoves. This is, I'll tell you what, it amazes me how clean and white things can get. This is how white and clean stuff is out there in Liberia. Don't ask me how they do it. But, and then they iron it. And this is how they iron it. They have these irons that they just put, they put coal from the fire. And that's how they iron it. How many people have to get your water this way? There's the kids that are coming back and getting water down by the creek. Now, if you watch, this girl in the back here, I'm going to show you her pouring that bucket of water into a big barrel. And she doesn't miss. Watch, she's pouring the water here. And I'm really far away. I'm trying to get this. I think she had a little practice doing that. Man, yeah, they just more village scenes. I just love this. I thought that little kid did not know what to do with me. Just more scenes. That's a melon that grows in the tree. It was really good. Just more scenes around. Some of the kids there. This is cassava. It is the root. It looks kind of like a yam on steroids or something. It's one of their starches. It's you find it everywhere. They take this, they make things called fufu and dumboy by cutting it up, smashing it up, and then they make things like farina, like cream of wheat kinds of things out of this. That's out of the root, but out of the leaves, they also will chop up the leaves and they'll eat it like spinach. And these are just some bananas. This is at the end of the week. This was some of the stuff that was left over that they were giving to people to take home with them. This is how you make cassava, or turn cassava into what's called dumboy.
I don't know, guys. I think those women were better at it than you were.
They were taking us around and showing us the village.
Job, right?
And the women were
good.
Doing it when we walked up, and the guys were like, yeah, we could do this. Yeah, these women knew what they were doing.
This is how they prepare you.
You want to be something to
eat? Yeah.
Hello? Give me the mother.
Okay, how many people would prefer to just go down to Wegmans and now here I am pretending I'm doing it, haha. Yeah, the ladies were laughing at me. When everything was done, this is what's called dumboy. The best I can describe it is it's like unbaked bread dough. That's the consistency of it. And it is in a thing called pepper soup. And the pepper soup is stuff that I can't identify all the time. And one of the things that happened to be in this was like the hoof of a pig and some fish. And what they did is the dumboy is sitting here. They took some of the broth from the soup, and then the dumboy is sitting in the broth. And then that's cassava leaves all chopped up. And here's Ted Rathen eating dumboy for the first time. They're teaching him how to do it. That's fish.
So you do this?
Hey, take that.
The water on the sun,
I hat. Okay. So Solomon, that's a fish?
fish?
Yeah, yeah, it's a fish. Bullion.
It's a bullion fish, and dry it.
Okay.
Dry it.
Is it good?
Perfect. Are you
not? You see him chewing it? You're not supposed to chew it. You're supposed to just swallow. This is a pig that it had been running around just previously, and now it's not running around anymore. And they skinned it, and now they're cooking it over here. This is the charcoal that they're going to use to cook it. This is just another village scenes. Those are the bricks that they used. A monkey, yes. There are monkeys in that one. No, it's kind of funny. There are monkeys in Liberia. This one, I don't know if he was a wild monkey or not. There was a cage that he would go in and out of whenever he wanted to. And he it was kind of funny. At the one point, he chased down Ted Rathman and, like, licked him on the back of his leg or nibbled him or something. It was kind of funny. This is Monrovia, the capital city, where we went in and just driving around Monrovia what Monrovia looks like, the capital city. And we drove through Monrovia so that we could go to their school called St. Paul's Christian School. St. Paul's Christian School is the school that they started many, many years ago, and it's part of their outreach. As you grow into the community, you turn off the highway, you go into this small community, and this is where they get the water in that community. It's at a community pump. This is just this is the community in which that school sits. This happens to be the edge of what they're going to build a new school on. And this is the existing church and school. Now, just looking into that, on the left-hand side here is the school. Over here on the right was the church. This is when we arrived. The kids sang us a song, "You are welcome to the EC family." And all those notes say, "You're welcome." This is now inside. These people, whether they're kids or adults, they just can't stand still. And we went there. They took us there to visit the school, to learn something about the school. They had actually planned for us to do it in a different day, but because we changed our itinerary, they kind of scrambled together and pulled a few kids and teachers together to redo it on a different day for us. So this is not the whole school. It's just who they were able to get that day. There's me in the middle of the kids. They did. Here they are praying. And they're speaking their Bible verse to us in Bahasa, showing us how they read. This is their reader. They use the same reader with just different pages for all the different grades of school. Okay, and they're singing songs to us. Then, how great thou art. Then I had taken a bunch of things from the school here. I took letters from the kids. I'm presenting a letter from Phil Miller, who was the principal here, to this guy. His name is Simon. He's the principal there. I brought their letters. I brought a packet of all the kids' pictures with their names because we're creating this friendship program between our school and that school there, and presented them right here as a packet of all the drawings and letters that the kids here in our school wrote to the kids in Liberia. And then they gave me their letters to hand carry back with me to the kids here. In addition to all those things, the school here sent $500 cash for them, which I presented to them. Now, I say $502. The $2 is very important. There's a little girl in the school here. I gave a presentation about Liberia to the chapel service here. One little girl was so overwhelmed by what she saw. That night, she went home and wrote a letter. Came in the next day to school with that letter. She had folded up the bottom and stapled it inside and put $2 in there. And her letter said something like, "When I heard about you, I felt bad and I wanted to help you." So she sent $2, and I made a big deal of that. And here is her letter and her $2, and Simon is just rejoicing at the whole thing. There he is with her $2 and her letter. And then they said what they're going to do with that $2 is they're going to fix this desk and then send a picture back for her to see what her $2 did. And then, of course, to round it all out, I gave them all lollipops. And I gave them the little, those little flashlights that we had for our kids' program, our little fireside thing. I gave them all flashlights. They loved them. And then they spontaneously sang this little light of mine. This is their school, the outside. This is what it looks like in their classrooms. That's the principal's office. This is the school classrooms. This is where they want to build their next school. And this is a picture of me and Ted and some of the teachers and the kids. Now, just to wrap this up, because I represent Liberia here in the U.S., I am the head of what they call the Liberia Committee. We had been trying, since I got involved, to try to figure out how can we help them. We can't fix it. We can't change their entire culture, but we found some ways that we could help them with focused initiatives. And I'm just going to kind of review those for you very quickly. We put together a program that we call Uplift Liberia, and it's inviting people in the denomination to just contribute to specific things. The first initiative that we're trying to help them with is their school system. It costs about $70 a year to put a child through their Christian school program. So we were trying to find, and it costs about, their target is to try and get their teachers paid at a level that would be about $40 US per month. Those are things that we were trying to help them figure out, maybe see if we can raise some money to help them in the US. So those are some things we're looking to see if we can raise funds for. One of the other things we're trying to help them raise funds for is to train their pastors and their leaders. And, you know, you can only imagine people being won to Christ in a village that can't even read and write their own language, let alone go to a seminary. How do you equip them to be proficient in dealing with the things of the Lord? And so I'm helping him put together quarterly training programs. In addition to that, they're trying to teach the people in their villages how to read and write their own language, and they use the Basta Bible as their textbook. And so this is people from the Basa learning classes. We also purchase for them these things. We call them radios. They're not. They're digital scripture units. They have the Basa language recorded for them. They're scriptures. And so even when there's not a pastor available that can read, they can actually just turn these things on and listen to their scriptures in their own language. So they can use that as a standalone unit in their own community as well as part of their Basa training program. In addition to that, one of the things that we were able to figure out, and this conversation came out of, because I was sick, we changed our schedule, we had some extra opportunity to discuss things. And we were trying to figure out, how do you deal with this 36 remote churches and these pastors? How do you deal with trying to train them and equip them? And so we came up with this thing, this idea, to the unit I just showed you that was useful here with the Basa scriptures on. This was the base unit from a company called Mega Voice. They have other units, and what we found, and I investigated this when I came back, these units, you can actually get an upgraded unit of these things where you can plug in an SD card with your own material on it. And so what we are looking at now is to help them build a network, a program, where back in Monrovia, which is kind of their headquarters, they can put together training programs, they can record messages, they can put together Sunday school programs and different Bible teachings, record them on an SD card, and send that SD card out to a village that has one of these radio units, and suddenly they can create a network of training where they're sending the messages out rather than trying to figure out how do they get the pastors in there. They can record these things and send them out once a month, and suddenly they can be doing all kinds of in-depth teaching with their pastors. To get to that point, this was just an idea we had. I've explored this since I came back. For about $5,000, we can put the entire system in place, including the capability like this, where someone could speak into a microphone, they can capture it and plug it into a laptop, record it with something called Audacity, get some kind of a duplicator that can take the SD card and duplicate them, 10 or 20 at a time. They could pass out SD cards, and suddenly we can create an entire network. The last thing that we're going to try and help them figure out, once again, is transportation. We have in the past helped them buy a truck, we helped them buy motorcycles, none of which is around anymore. You know why? Look at those roads. Things do not last in Liberia. And even though you help them buy a motorcycle or a truck today, they don't last. They have a regular need for this stuff. And so one of the other things they're going to look at is to see, yet again, if we can help them buy another truck and more motorcycles. Now, having said all that, and that's really kind of the end of it, here's where I wanted to get to, just as a closing thought. I recognize that I went long. I apologize for that. This is about the shortest I can make this stuff. Actually, that's not true. I got to come up with a 10-minute version of this for GMC. But here's the deal. My brothers and my sisters, I really felt when I went there that I was sent by you. I felt the love. I felt like I was a carrier of that love. I felt like I was an embodiment of your love and your concern for your brothers and sisters on the other side of the world. I was your ambassador and just carried your message, your encouragement to them in this package. Well, that's what Jesus does. The scripture tells us that God so loved you and me that to show it, he didn't just send the microphone. He didn't just send a laptop. He sent his son, which was the embodiment of that love. And I felt as though that's what I had the privilege of doing. I was the embodiment of your message of love and hope for your brothers and sisters. And so just to kind of wrap it up, let me read for you 1 John 4:9-10. God so loved us, showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Herein is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. My brothers and sisters, in one sense, and I'm not saying this to be prideful, but in one sense, when you look at your brothers and sisters on the other side of the world, you said, how can we help them? Well, yeah, they can use a motorcycle, they can use a truck, but you sent me. You know, you kind of looked and you said, you know what, let's just send our pastor. And I thank you for that, and they thank you for that. How about if we stand together? And we'll skip the last song. We're pretty late. Let's just take a few moments to just pray together. I'm going to invite one or two or three of you to just pray out, specifically if you could pray.